From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, the man who inspired the movie Bernie is released. We'll start with the Republican battle for lieutenant governor. The incumbent, David Dewhurst, is battling for his political life. Tomorrow, he faces off with Dan Patrick in the last scheduled media debate before the May 27th runoff. KERA has asked both candidates for interviews. Today, Dewhurst sat down with KERA's Shelley Koffler to talk about the challenge ahead.
How is it that after more than a decade as lieutenant governor, David Dewhurst finished 13 points behind Dan Patrick and is now scrambling to keep his job?
I don't think our ads connected with people as well as I wanted them to.
Dewhurst blames poor communication on the airwaves and in person.
I haven't done a very good job of getting out and telling the people of Texas what we're doing, why we're doing it, and opening up and telling people who David is.
That's what Dewhurst is trying to do now as he races to close the gap.
First of all, I want to make sure that the voters understand that things just don't happen in the legislature, and it takes a proactive effort to get things done.
Dewhurst says his goal in Wednesday's WFAA debate is to remind voters that during his watch, taxes were cut and the Texas economy outperformed other states. He says he also wants to show a contrast between himself and his opponent. It's something he's tried to do with television attack ads that claim Patrick didn't pay taxes, pocketed employees' federal income tax withholdings, and hid assets during a bankruptcy.
All we're doing is We're quoting things he's said, things he's done from newspapers, from TV shows.
Patrick claims Dewhurst's ads are filled with lies and reminds that Dewhurst went through a bankruptcy too. But it's been 30 years since all of that happened. So why does Dewhurst believe it still matters?
It matters only if this is a pattern, Shelley. It matters only if this is simply an example of character. Because if we're both real conservative and we both agree with each other on policy 98% of the time, then it's a question of who has the character and the ability and the vision to lead this state forward over the next 4 years. And I submit on the facts, it's me.
Dewhurst says the matter of character includes releasing federal income taxes, something he's done, but Patrick hasn't.
Let the people of Texas see what you're trying to hide. You're trying to hide something.
Dan Patrick has fired back with his own ads, questioning Dewhurst's record on immigration. It's a theme he's sure to continue when the two candidates face off. Shelley Koffler, KERA News.
Dan Patrick and David Dewhurst will face off tomorrow morning at 10:30 in a debate that will be live-streamed online by WFAA and the Texas Tribune. Their debate from last week is posted at keranews.org and will re-air Friday night at 9 on KERA-TV. Seismologists are still studying that spate of small earthquakes that broke out west of Fort Worth last fall. A new study farther north shows Oklahoma has seen a 50% rise in small quakes. KERA's Dwali Saikautau talks to Bill Leith, senior science advisor at the U.S. Geological Survey.
This new report by the U.S. Geological Survey and Oklahoma Geological Survey says 145 earthquakes of magnitude 3.0 or higher has been recorded since last October. What does this mean?
We're emphasizing that the seismic hazard is significantly increased in central and northern Oklahoma as a result of a significant increase in the number of small and moderate-sized earthquakes that occurred there in the last 6 months.
So even though scientists can't predict or forecast earthquakes, the data suggest a more damaging quake of maybe magnitude 5 and above is possible?
When there are small earthquakes, the probability of having a larger earthquake increases. So since we're seeing such a dramatic increase in the seismicity of central Oklahoma, that gives us a straightforward warning of an increased seismic hazard.
Are these minor quakes in Oklahoma induced by oil and gas drilling?
We believe that a likely cause for the occurrence of some or many of the earthquakes is the disposal of wastewater from oil and gas production in the state of Oklahoma. And we don't believe that the earthquakes are caused directly by fracking. fracking increases production, and the production increases the amount of wastewater that needs to be disposed of. For example, there's a technique called stripping or dewatering, which we know is used in Oklahoma, which generates large volumes of wastewater and doesn't involve fracking.
The USGS is currently working with SMU scientists to collect data on seismic activity north of Fort Worth in the Azle and Reno area. An update on that study is expected next week. Dua Li, Sai Kow Tau, KERA News.
Back in 2011, the movie Bernie enshrined a certain type of small-town Texan in this one-of-a-kind description of areas around the state.
You got your West Texas out there with a bunch of flat ranches. Up north, you got some Dallas snobs with their Mercedes. And then in Central Texas, you got the People's Republic of Austin with a bunch of hairy-legged women and liberal fruitcakes.
The man who inspired that movie, Bernie Tita, was released from prison today. Our partners at the Texas Tribune report that he'll be staying in the Austin garage of Richard Linklater, the director who made the movie. In 1996, Tita was working for a mortician in Carthage, a small East Texas town. In a high-profile trial, he admitted murdering his 81-year-old friend and stuffing her body in a freezer. The judge shortened his life sentence after hearing evidence that he'd been sexually abused as early as age 12. Linklater, who cast Jack Black and Shirley MacLaine in the movie, told the judge he's determined to help Tita in any way he can. We're still 3 months away from the start of the fall art season, but the season announcements are coming fast and furious. KERA's Rome Weeks catches up with two, Titus and Theater 3.
Titus next season is classic Titus, a mix of dance and music, a mix of returning favorites, and five new performers, new to North Texas. One example, the great Senegalese musician and singer Yasun Dur. But Titus' mix has changed. It used to be equally balanced. Five offerings in music, five in dance. Now it's weighted more toward dance. Charles Santos is executive director of Titus. He says now that Titus is at home in the AT&T Performing Arts Center, it needs to stand out from all the other programming. What does Titus offer that's unique?
They're doing music, we were doing music, and there was no differentiation between the series. And so I said, we're going to pull back. You do the music. The only music that we're going to do are things that are very world music, like Yosu Endure, or a spectacle like Scrap Arts from Canada. And we're going to focus on what we do best, which is present dance.
So Titus is presenting a whole range of contemporary dance innovators, from Momix to Diavolo, from the popular Parsons Dance Company to the French group Ballet Biarritz. It'll make its Dallas debut with an unconventional Cinderella. At Theater 3, the new season will be full of Texas connections. It opens in August with a new play by Dallas writer Ronnie Claire Edwards. Candy Bar's Last Dance is based on the infamous Dallas stripper from the 50s and 60s. Another Dallas playwright wrote the Broadway musical Hands on a Hard Body. It's based on the film documentary about a contest to win a pickup truck. Not only was the real-life contest held in Longview, the musical's book was written by Dallas native Doug Wright. Theater 3 producer-director Jack Alder.
Hands on a Hard Body is real special to us because of Doug Wright. And as soon as we learned it might be possible for us to do it, we jumped right on it, and Doug's promised to come back. And so there's going to be kind of a homecoming of one of our Pulitzer Prize-winning authors.
Texas writer-performer Jason Williams will also be coming to Theater 3. He's one of the creators behind Greater Tuna. He'll be starring in the one-man show True, based on the life of Truman Capote. Subscriptions for Theater 3's season are already on sale. Titus subscriptions go on sale June 21st. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
You can see videos of some of the dance groups Titus is bringing to town at artandseek.org.
One of every five people who breaks a hip after age 50 dies within a year.
The last thing I wanted to do was break my hip.
After she left the hospital, she died within a month.
Family support is really important.
I always wonder, you know, is this the right decision?
It seems like a simple thing, a broken hip, but it's not so simple.
Tomorrow morning at 8:20, a new KERA Breakthrough series, The Broken Hip.
Mostly clear skies tonight, a low near 67. Tomorrow should be mostly cloudy with a high near 88. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy. A 20% chance for showers with a low near 70. It's 86 degrees in Dallas, 85 in Fort Worth and Tyler, 89 in Wichita Falls. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.